You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Football players have lots of cash. They spend it on cars and going out on the lash. They co-write a book about their interesting lives, even though they are only 25.
He shoots, he scores,
scoring the goals.
Dribble the ball, kick the ball to score a goal.
He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
The ball to score a goal.
Hello and welcome to the League Podcast with William Hill in association with the72.co.uk. I'm Alex Dunn and I've been joined by Jason Lewis from the72.co.uk to look ahead to the best that League One and Two has to offer this weekend. First things first, good afternoon, Mr. Lewis. How are you?
I'm very well. It's good to be back in your humble presentation hands after last week's difficulties.
Yeah, we had a few problems last week in that I think you'd gone to your sister's, wasn't it, which...
Yeah,
she must live in some sort of cave for signal.
Yeah,
We couldn't connect, so Leaf Helps had to record it at a later date when I wasn't in the office, which was a bit of a shame. And even this week, we had a few technical problems. The magic of editing, listeners, is wonderful because we all make mistakes. And my intro to the previous podcast, if you like, was just dreadful. But hopefully we're on the right track now. Having one of those days, I think, or one of those weeks even, going back from last week. But we're here to provide you with some information, some tips, hopefully some winners on the action in League One and League Two. And it's that weekend that comes around every 5 or 6 weeks of late, international weekend, where League One and Two has a bit more prominence, I think it's fair to say. We've got 3 televised games to look at. And it can only be a good thing, can't it, for the lower leagues, Jason, to get that bit more exposure. And, more people will be betting on those games, so we'd better put up some good bets, really.
Yeah, definitely. As you say, it's the third month now in a row since September that we've got this one weekend. But it's the last one we've got now till, I think, about February, I think, the next round of internationals are. So, last real chance to impress. And obviously, last weekend with the FA Cup games, it was quite a great weekend, and there was a lot of attention on the lower leagues and the non-league scene, and that was a very great thing to watch. It's very good to do, try and cover some of the games and get some winners in there, however difficult it was. There's a lot of games to go through, but got some exciting games this week. It's starting to really take shape in all 3 divisions, and we're sort of looking towards the busy Christmas period now. And just a little thing I picked on this week: 16 sackings now in the Football League, and 8 in the Championship, 5 in League 1, 3 in League 2. You wonder where it's going to end, really. It seems like it's just going to keep the sort of entrance door in and out of managers' posts are just going to keep on spinning. I think since the last time we met, there's been 2 or 3 new appointments, and that's been just in the last 2 weeks. So,
well, in the all change in the Championship now. I mean, you mentioned it there, 8 have gone. That's a third of clubs have already got rid of their managers this season. They've barely played. doesn't seem that long that we were talking, sat here doing sort of the pre-season podcasts, if you like. And managers don't get as much time anymore, do they, basically?
No, I think the average now in the Championship is they get less than a season, which is absolutely ridiculous. And you look at, like, I think the longest-serving manager in the Premier League, or from the clubs in the top floor, I think Eddie Howe only took over at Bournemouth in 2012. He's probably the third longest-serving manager in the Premier League now.
There's only Wenger who's been there for any serious length of time.
And you look at Exeter and League 2, that's about it, really, when you look around the league. They're the ones that stand out for you. So, sad state. It's the modern game, I guess, and just how things are now, unfortunately, I'd say.
Fortunately, we've got some televised games to look at this weekend, and we'll start in League 1 with Rochdale against Wigan. It is the lunchtime kickoff, 12:30 on Saturday, and Rochdale are 17-10. The draw is 9-4, and Wigan are in the betting at 8-5. Wigan, who come into this in 5th place, they've been in good form of late, unbeaten in quite a few, and up against the Rochdale side, who are also unbeaten in 4, but they've drawn all 4. 3 nil-nil draws, followed by a 2-2 against Southend last time out. Let's be honest here, Jason. They'd take another draw here, wouldn't they?
I think they'd be more than happy with a draw. And it's a little interesting on the outright market. When I first started looking at this game on Wednesday evening, the price were actually reversed. You had Wigan at 17-10 and watched at 8-5. So that probably shows you the punters are tending to slide towards Wigan. And that's possibly the way I see this going myself. When you just look at how they've been doing recently, it's been after probably a slow start, and many people were putting them under pressure because they were tipped to be right at the top end of the table to bounce straight back into the Championship, and they didn't make the best of starts of the season. But now they've gone 9 undefeated, chance to go 2 points of the current leaders Walsall and Burton, who both aren't playing this weekend due to international representation. So you fancy their chance against a Rochdale side that have just lost that sort of winning mentality, it seems. They did win last weekend in the FA Cup against Swindon, but then in midweek lost at home to Morecambe in the Johnson's Paint. So it's tricky to see how Rochdale are really backable here, and that's probably why Wigan are just the slight favourites here at the 8-5 price, which is still odds against, and you're getting plenty of money for that. And really, first four away games of the season, they had 3 defeats and 1 win. Their last 4, 3 draws and a win. It might not show that they're blowing teams away, but it certainly shows the stubbornness and difficulty to beat. And they were leading both at Bradford and Oldham and ended up drawing both those games. So they've been in a lot of winning positions. Wins in both cup competitions this week against Fleetwood and Blackpool, so confidence has got to be high. And when you think of Wigan, I remember when you mentioned it a few weeks ago that you just think goals, and they're a bit goal crazy, scored in their last 6 away games, and you have to be pushed towards goals markets in this game. And I know Rochdale have drawn 3 of their last 4 nil-nil, but I think it's a very rare thing for Rochdale, who do have, on the most part, plenty of goals in their team. We've got Peter Vincenti's on 7 league goals this season, and they certainly got back to that against Swindon in the Cup, winning 3-1. And then I look at Wigan, they've brought in a big sort of marquee signing, really, in the loan window this week, Alex Revell from Cardiff. I think if you're looking for a goal scorer in this game, he could be here to score on debut, really. He's a key part of the Rotherham side that got promoted from League One in 2013-14. 15-8 for him to score any time on debut. It's a very good price for me if you're looking for a goal scorer in this game. And I'd be backing goals definitely here. As I say, some of those stats, you look at Wigan's recent results, they had a 3-2 win at Peterborough, beat Colchester 5-0, drew 2-2 with Bury. So not the sternest defence, but certainly now to score goals. So over 2.5 goals in both teams to score here, 5-4. If you want to put that, either of those with Wigan, you're going to get a good price. But a new market recently that's popped up, when I've been looking at these bets, is quite an interesting one. If you're not quite certain Wigan are going to get the win, and you think it'll be a result, both teams to score but no draw. So effectively, it's a nice little bet that came up. I only noticed it last week.
You're very corporate, aren't you, Jason? This is wonderful. I don't even need to be here to steer you in the right direction. No, it's something that came in, I think, 3 weeks ago. It's been really popular, actually. Both score, no draw. Just simply, both teams to score and either side to win. That's all you need. So it's kind of an enhanced both teams to score, if you like.
Yeah.
Because on the both teams to score, I mean, yes, you can be scuppered by a draw. That is why you're getting a bigger price. But 7-4 for both score, no draw here is a big price. Compare that to the just both teams to score market, where yes is 8-11. You know, you're not asking for that much more, I wouldn't have said. No. And it's one of those things where if you're taking 3 or maybe 4 7-4 shots, putting them together in an acca, you're going to get a big price.
Yeah, certainly, maybe not in this game. I just wanted to make mention of it because it was saying that I found quite interesting looking through when possibly, perhaps not the way Rochdale have been recently with how they've been drawn, but if you're finding both teams do like entertaining games and high scoring but often are getting either winning or losing them, it could be an avenue to go down. And you look at Rochdale's, their recent defeats before those draws, 3-2 against Sheffield United, 3-1 against Bradford, but then they beat Chiefs 3-2. So take out the 4 draws, and their 5 games before that were all a win with both teams scoring, whether it's them or the other team. And you look at Wigan, it's a scattergun. I saw Peterborough and Fleetwood, Chesterfield. It's definitely there to be had. At 7-4, it's a possibility. I think when you're getting over 2.5 and both teams to score in this game at 5-4, it's a bit shorter, but then you're taking the result completely out of it and just thinking there's going to be more than 2 goals. I think you'd back that at 5-4 being my pick in this televised game.
Okay. Fair enough. We'll move to the 2 non-televised games that we're going to focus on then in League One. Swindon against Scunthorpe is the next one. Swindon 21-10. The draw is 5-2, and Scunthorpe are 6-5. Scunthorpe, who have been pretty much all or nothing so far this season. Only 2 draws from their 16 games. Won 7 and lost 7, and as such they're sitting in 10th place, but they will have aspirations to climb that a little bit higher and sneak into the playoffs. Swindon are having a pretty wretched season, if we're being honest. They're in poor form of late. They did draw at home to Coventry a couple of weeks ago, and that will have given them some hope, but they lost at Wigan when we last saw them. 1-0 defeat. And it's one of those games that it won't be easy for Scunthorpe, but they are odds against, and people will be tempted by that.
Yeah, certainly. I think it's possibly, if you're just looking for a little one, maybe when you're after the 6-5 price, when you, if you're the sort of person that goes purely off form, you'd be in the camp for Scunthorpe to win this game. And it's one of those teams that have stacked their manager, Swindon, Martin Lynn's come in, and he's not certainly had an immediate impact on this side. Mm. When you look at it, I put them up last week to maybe at least put up a fight against Rochdale in the cup, and they didn't really manage to do that. And it's just a shocking record, really, without winning 10 games, conceded it, not kept a clean sheet in 12 games, conceding every home game this season. These stats soon pile up and put you in the camp of things. Scunthorpe, who've won 5 of their last 6 matches, they progressed in the FA Cup last weekend against Southend, a tricky game, and top of the form table, really, 15 points from the last 18 games, and Swindon are second bottom. So if you're purely a form man, you'd be straight on the Scunthorpe winning this game, and that's where I'm in this game. And it's just, how much do I think they can win it, or do I want to get some value elsewhere in the game, really? They've only actually taken 2 wins and a draw from their 8 away games this season, but 2 of those wins have been in their last 3 away games, so they're certainly showing a sudden sign of improvement and heading in the right direction. But just that price was a little bit short for me at 6-5, to be honest with you, Alex. And I was looking for other ways to get into this game, and I looked at it and I was thinking, when I looked at some statistics, that Scunthorpe are winning at half-time, 17-10, it's an offered, and Swindon have conceded first in 12 of their games this season. They've been losing at half-time in 9 of their games this season. And it just seems to possibly be right that Scunthorpe, the way they've been playing here, their confidence is certainly going to be flowing. A 2-0 win against Barnsley, 3-0 against Chesterfield in the last 2 games. I could see them coming in and try and stamp their foot on this game early doors. And they can be winning at half-time, 17-10. It's certainly a price to be snatched at. And Scunthorpe to score first, 7-10, possibly even too short to back. But winning at half-time, 17-10, was the way that I would see this game going with them. Possibly win it overall, but perhaps maybe a spirited comeback for Swindon. You'd hope with their new manager trying to install some sort of character into the squad. So didn't want to quite back Scunthorpe for that short 6-5 price, but winning at half-time 17-10 was the way I'd play this one.
Okay. The next game that we're going to look at is Peterborough against Fleetwood. Peterborough are 11-10, the draw 13-5, and Fleetwood 23-10. Peterborough, who are arriving this game in 13th, they've had a fairly up-and-down season, but have scored the most goals so far in the division with 32. Fleetwood, in the relegation zone coming into this, they've been on a decent enough run of late. They've won 2 of the last 4, a 4-0 win against Burton and a 1-0 win at struggling Barnsley. But there are defeats to Sheffield United and to Chesterfield in there as well. And, well, whatever happens, you'd imagine that there'll be plenty of goals in this one, but are Peterborough going to come out on top, Jason?
Yeah, goals is the order of the day in quite a lot of this, the games we cover this week. But I think this one, more so than maybe any other, especially when you look at Peterborough, 32 goals scored, as you say, top of the league. But then also, they've got the second worst defence in the division. They've conceded 27, so that tells you why they aren't at the top end of the table where they are in the goal scoring charts. But it has been improvement since Graham Westley came in. I personally didn't think he would be the right man for the job, but he's proved me wrong and shown some good improvement. And their 2 defeats recently against Wigan, we've seen spoken earlier, Wigan are flying at the moment, and to lose to Coventry last week, they were 2-0 up in that game and did concede quite late on to lose anything, so that's quite a disheartening one for them. But I think at home they've shown some very good results recently, and they've really impressed me how they've managed to turn it around. And they've scored in all their games this season, bar the opening day, if you're looking for something to back the goals market. And 11 of their 16 games this season have all been over 2.5. So that's just how you play it, really. Peterborough 11-10, again, it's a solid enough outright price. If you're maybe putting on a little treble, you could pair it up with that previous result, Scunthorpe, on a double, and you get some good money. But here I like to, towards the top end of the markets on this game, Peterborough to win and 3 or more goals in the match at 21-10. So effectively, it's Peterborough and over 2.5 goals, but you get slightly better price than if you go down to the match times goals market, because I think that was just straight 2-1. So I like getting a little bit of extra money wherever I can, really. So to get that little extra pound on a 10, it would be nice at 21-10. And just things back that up for me is, even though Fleetwood, they've made a couple of signings this week to try and bolster their squad. David Hennon has come in, a striker from Everton, young striker and winger, Tariq Fusu, excuse my pronunciation, from Reading. So they certainly know that manager here doesn't think they've got enough here, Stephen Prissy, that he needed to bolster their squad in the loan window. But it's whether their recent form has been like consistent enough, or is it just sort of flash in the pan result? I think for Fleetwood to beat Burton 4-0 could go down as possibly the upset of the League One season if Fleetwood end up finishing in the relegation zone and Burton continue their current form. I don't think anyone even suggested that they were even going to get a win in that game, let alone to beat them 4-0. And their last six games, interestingly, have all been wins to nil, not necessarily for Fleetwood, but two in favour of Fleetwood and four defeats. If you were backing a win to nil, I don't think there's really a way you can play it that you back both teams to win to nil, but I think it just suggests that they either do turn up or they either don't in recent weeks. And I'm hoping in the way I'm playing this game that it's possibly one of the cases where they don't turn up, and they do just have a very poor away record, two wins and six defeats, and they've been trailing early in a lot of games. Five times this season away from home they've been losing at half time, and it's such a mountain to climb to be losing away from home at half time to try and come back into a game. So we're backing Peterborough here, and just the way they score goals, 32 goals in 16 games, average two goals a game scoring, but then to also concede 27 in that same period, it just makes you have to back goals. So Peterborough to win and three or more goals in a match would, for me here at 21-10, would be the pick, just because I think Peterborough are slowly picking up the pace of a side that could be in and amongst the playoffs come the end of the season.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think goals is just the way you have to play it. I think Peterborough will win, but whatever happens, make sure that goals are in your bet. Right, we'll move to League Two, where we've got two televised games on Sunday. We're going to look at those first before moving back to Saturday and 1-3 o'clock kickoff. Hartlepool against Leyton Orient is the Sunday lunchtime kickoff, 12:15 for this one. Hartlepool are in the betting at 17-5, the draw 13-5, and Leyton Orient are 4-5. Leyton Orient in seventh, were higher up the table early on in the season. They'll be looking to get back there. At the minute, they're clinging on to a playoff place. Whereas Hartlepool, who started the season on fire, since then have levelled out a bit, and they're probably where you would expect them to be, Jason, in 19th. They haven't been fantastic of late. But you've got two good goal scorers coming into this in Billy Painter, who we seem to talk about on every podcast. He's got six goals so far this season. But Jay Simpson is the main one. He's the top scorer so far in the division. And both players are mentioned in our headline offers. Painter to score Hartlepool to win at 8-1. Simpson to score Leyton Orient to win at a massive 3-1. Very big, Jason, when you consider that they're odds on the outrights.
Yeah, very big price. And I was just thinking in my head, I was going to try and say I'm not going to mention a certain Hartlepool striker throughout this game, and you kind of beat me to it and mentioned him there. But
straight in.
No, very big price there, 3-1. I was going to come on to Jay Simpson slightly later on in the podcast, but just looking at this game on the outright market, odds on for Orient to win away from home just doesn't quite inspire me enough with sort of not necessarily how they've been playing away from home this season, but just sort of the natural feelings when you think of Leyton Orient as a club in recent years. They have been very much a home dominant side, and although their record this season suggests otherwise, it's just sort of a, not necessarily a stigma, but just sort of something I have with them recently. And when they've only won one of their last four away games, it possibly explains sort of what I'm getting. And you look at their recent form, Leyton Orient, there's two ways to take it really. It's one defeat in four games, or it's one win in five, but in the bigger picture it's two wins in 11. And after winning their opening five games, it probably tells you that that's not a good enough record if you're going to be pushing for promotion, which is what they wanted to be doing this season. And granted, there were some tough games of them recently, Wickham, Northampton, Oxford, Luton, that real disappointment to lose last time out in the league at home to Accrington. And they did bounce back in the FA Cup, 6-1 win over Spain, certainly give them some confidence. And I just think here it is possible to back Leyton Orient, but I just think you need to be clever with how you play. And I think that Jay Simpson price is a very enticing offer when you look at some of the stats he's been posting up. 11 goals in 16 games this season. He's gone three games without a goal now. It's the longest spell he's had so far this season without getting a goal. And I'd certainly be hoping he'd bag in this game. Leyton Orient have just lost us once this season when he scored, and he scored in 10 matches. And he's here any time to score 13-10, but I do say this every time I talk about a prominent goal scorer, but it just seems you have to, in my eyes, you have to pair out with the win, because if he is going to score, you'd hope that they're going to be enough, because he's such a dynamite striker in this level that he's going to have enough to fire Leyton Orient to victory. And let's not say Hartlepool don't have any chance in this game, but you just have to look at their stats. Two wins in 8 games at home this season. Really, they just beat the sort of teams they need to survive in the division. They've beaten York, they've beaten Newport, beaten Yeovil and beaten Dagenham. So they've effectively beaten all the teams below them in the league. So they do what they do, and they'll be there around mid-table. I don't think they were there in a lot worse position this time last year. They were probably rooted to the bottom of the table. So it's certainly a better picture. So I think at times fans need to perhaps get the bigger picture, and they'll be all right this year. And it's just that where they are as a club, really, without any big money investment, they're going to sort of remain a sort of steady League Two side. And the problems this season have been caused by a poor defence, just 2 clean sheets in the last 13 games and 4 in total this season. And they've only scored twice in 4 games, and one of those they lost 3-2 to Carlisle. So for me, it's Leyton Orient here. You can either have, the way I was playing the outright market was going to be both teams to score, and Leyton Orient at 14-5, because both teams certainly do like a goal, because Hartlepool have scored in 5 of their 8 defeats so far this season, and they have only failed to score in 2 home games, even if they're not necessarily bagging 2s or 3s every time. But I think here, that headline offer, I'm not pumping it just because of the promo, but Jace Hinton and Leyton Orient to win was just too good to turn down if you're looking for a pick in this game.
Yeah, it seems blatantly obvious, but you know, you can be sort of wary of something that seems really obvious.
But at
3-1, it's a big enough price that you don't have to be putting too much on it, you know, to get a decent return. So
exactly, it's put 5 on it, again, 20 quid back. So.
Exactly. No, I'd agree with you there. I think that is the way to play that one. The other televised game is Portsmouth against Wimbledon. This one at 2:30 on Sunday. Portsmouth are 19-20. The draw 5-2, and Wimbledon are 14-5. Once again, headline offers on this game: Matt Tubbs to score and Portsmouth to win at 3s, and Adebayo Akinfenwa to score and Wimbledon to win at 7s. Again, they will tempt a few people in. But in terms of form coming into this, Portsmouth sit in 3rd. They've been pretty much a model of consistency so far this season. They've been very, very hard to beat. That said, they did slip up last time at Notts County. They were looking to bounce back from that. They come up against the Wimbledon side, who I opposed last week with Hartlepool. They brushed them aside 2-0. Prior to that, they won 3-1 at York, and before that, they won 4-3 at Accrington. Granted, the last 2 sides, York and Hartlepool, that Wimbledon have beaten aren't any great shakes, but they're in good form. They're coming into this in decent nick. Portsmouth, though, a different kettle of fish from their recent opposition. And at 19-20 for Portsmouth at home, a lot of people will be looking at that and going, well, hang on, I'm used to putting Portsmouth in my acca and they're at home when they're 8-15 or 8-13. The fact they're 19-20, as far as I'm concerned here, Jason, I thought they were a really, really good bet.
They were a really good bet. And the reason that price has drifted is you just have to look at where their home form's been. And I've been to a recent couple of games at Fratton Park, and the atmosphere isn't perhaps where it was at the start of the season. Some fans getting a little frustrated, only their minorities, but just a few getting a little frustrated. And when you haven't won in 4 matches and drawing 3 of those and losing to Exeter, haven't won at home since September the 12th, you can in the league, that is, you can see why some sections of fans are getting a bit frustrated. But going there as a neutral, I sort of agreed with manager Paul Cook that you've got to look at the bigger picture. They've lost 2 games so far this season out of the 16 they've played. They're 3rd in the table, just 2 points behind Oxford. They're now 7 back on Plymouth, but if you offered them that at the start of the season, I think they'd be pretty happy with where they are. And what that does for us punters, though, is it gives us a lot more to work with Portsmouth as a bet, when you certainly would back Portsmouth against most sides in this division, just taking it off the cuff without looking at any form or anything, you would. And I think it'd be fair to say I'm sort of a general punter who does look at form quite a lot. That's probably where I don't make as much money when I bet myself as I possibly could. But here, I'm not necessarily going with the form. I think that price on Portsmouth, 19-20, is a very good price. And the headline offer, again, of Matt Tubbs I have this thing of former clubs. I mentioned it a few weeks ago with, his name's escaping me now, but Matt Tubbs, formerly Wimbledon, joined them now at Portsmouth from Wimbledon. He may not have scored when the sides met last season, but I think here he could be due a goal. He certainly makes an impact even if he doesn't start when he comes off the bench and they need a goal. And I think he's worth backing here again at a 3-1 price for a prominent goal scorer in this division. And it's 3 straight victories for Wimbledon in the league, but a loss against Forest Green in the FA Cup, it's difficult to see how teams are going to react from some of these FA Cup games. And away from home, they're not the most resolute side, conceding once in all their games this season, having kept a clean sheet away from home. And they're heading in the right direction, but do they have the side, really? The point I'd make is that Portsmouth are a better side than Hartlepool, York, and I would say Accrington. And you've hit the nail on the head there when you say it's a completely different kettle of fish, really. And I think Portsmouth here will look to impress on the television. They've put in a very good performance in the League Cup on television against Derby County earlier in the season. I think them to win here, 19-20, is a good enough price just to put on a double if you want to match up with the other TV game on Sunday, or if you're playing on your weekend acca. And if you want to pick of a bit more, just one single bet on this game, Matt Tubbs has gone Pompey to win it 3-1. And I'm not being boring just because headlines offers. That's just the way I'm seeing these games going. I think Matt Tubbs is a very good player at this level, and I'd back him to score more often than not, especially in front of a home crowd.
Okay. The final game we're going to look at is York against Plymouth. York 12-5, the draw 11-5, and Plymouth are 6-5. This one is on Saturday at 3 o'clock. York, who have been struggling of late, they were in the leads against Barnsley in midweek, but threw it away late on. That would have been well, it's still a decent result, I suppose, up against a side in the tier above. But in the league, York have been struggling. They are outside the relegation zone as things stand, but they come up against the Plymouth side here, who are top of the table, and they're top by 5 points coming into this. Even though they did lose at Oxford three games ago. They still have that 5-point buffer. They won at Luton and they've beaten Morecambe at home in their last two games. And you'd be hard pushed to find anyone who could make a strong case for York here. Plymouth at odds against one of the bets of the weekend here, Jason, for me. What about you?
Certainly a bet of the weekend, and I'd try and make a case for York, and I was looking for anything I could really to get it in there, like just a little pro comment to give it a little bit of balance this, but Plymouth top of the league, one defeat in their last 10 games, did lose in midweek against Millwall and lost in the cup against Carlisle, but the focus for a side like Plymouth has to be on the league here to get out of League Two. It's been a tough couple of years in the division for them, and they've got the third best away record in the division, 16 points from 8 games. They've built this around having such a good defence, conceded just 11 goals from 16 games so far this season. And I often end up talking just about their goal scorers, but when I've looked at it now, their games do average just 2 goals a game, and just 3 of their 8 games this season have gone over 2.5 goals on the road. So really, they're not sort of, you can't really compare them to, for example, the likes of a Peterborough in League One or just a goal crazy team. They are a professional outfit that go about their business a certain way. It's entertaining football nonetheless, but remains professional, and it's all about getting the results. And that's proven more so than ever, but they've been leading at half time in 5 of their away matches this season and got on to win all of those. So it's been a difficult time for York at the same time. When you look at it, really, Russ Wilcox was sacked at the end of October, and Jackie McNamara's come in. He's done very well at Dundee United in recent years, but I think he's found here is a very different situation at York in this dog-eat-dog League 2 division that we've got this season. And it's just difficult, as you say, to find any case to not back Plymouth. And at a better price than you're going to get most weeks on Plymouth at 6-5, it's certainly there. If you want a bit more, the way I'd play this one would be Plymouth and under 2.5, possibly at 3-1. But as I mentioned there, Plymouth, 5 of their away matches this season, they've been leading at half-time, and they went on to win all of those. So Plymouth half-time, full-time, 5-2 is an outstanding bet for me in this game. If you do want a little bit more to put on a single, the double result, Plymouth half-time, full-time, I'd certainly be confident that they take an early lead here against York and either grow on it and snatch a second, and you're sitting pretty and they've secured it. But I'd be confident. You wouldn't. If I was looking at my acca and I saw Plymouth only leading by a goal, it'd be one of the teams I wouldn't necessarily be sweating on, because it's such a good defence this year and they can hold out in games when they need to.
Okay, fair enough. No, I think Plymouth are definitely one of the best bets that you'll see this weekend, which leads us nicely onto the naps. Just me and you, obviously, this week. No Pete Farries on the Championship podcast. He'll be back next week when we actually have some Championship football to go at. We'll start with you here, Jason. What's the nap going to be this week?
Lots of good prices, especially at those recent games in League 2 that we just covered, saying that the prices are a bit better. But I'm going to go back to the first TV game we covered in League 2, and I think I'm going big. It's getting to the stage. There's plenty of time left in the season, but I'm just getting a bit worried. Pete still is a little bit too far away from me in the nap standing. So it's not a big price, and I'm very confident it's going to come in on Sunday. I think that's Jay Simpson to score and Leighton Orient to win the game. That's straight and simple. Such a great goal scorer, it seems now. He's really found some confidence after. It's been a difficult time since he left the Arsenal Academy, I think it's fair to say, but him here late in Orient to win against Hartlepool side that are what they are, really, and I don't think they're going to match a team that, in my opinion, will be in the top seven around the playoffs come the end of the season.
Okay. Now, there's quite a few that I fancy here, to be honest. I liked Portsmouth. I really liked Plymouth. But I'm a sucker for punishment, and I've gone back to a club that I was just looking at the table outside. I've napped them in some way, shape or form three times already this season, and not once have I got them right. But I'm with Gillingham again. I was with them last
Gillingham
week.
Again.
I was with them last week in a Gillingham and both teams to score against Stevenage. That went very much awry. But Gillingham just on the outrights against Bury. They're 23-20. Their home form has been fantastic all season, and I just think that they'll win this. I'm surprised at their odds against. Bury have had a decent season so far. I think they're just still in the playoff picture. But yeah, I'm an absolute sucker for punishment, but I'm sticking with Gillingham. Hopefully, well, surely they've got a win for me eventually. So 23-20 for Gillingham. 3-1. Go on.
Do you know what I think about that? It's quite funny, as you mentioned that. I was about to say, I think if they let you down again, they need to go on your list.
I know.
I mentioned the other week, Bury were on my list, which is quite funny. I didn't actually check who they're dealing with left, but it's quite funny that it's a potential your list team against my list team.
Possibly. I just think I can't be mad at Gillingham just because they score plenty of goals. They're generally fairly consistent. It's just when I've had them, I think I've had them once on the outright where they didn't win. That was the 3-3 draw, I think. And that was against Oldham. And I've had them twice to win and both teams to score, including last week, when it hasn't landed. So we're just sticking with the outrights. Gillingham 23-20. Fingers crossed can land for me. You've got Simpson to score and Leighton Orient to win the headline offer at Hartlepool. That is the enhanced price anyway. So yeah. Fingers crossed we can close the gap on Mr. Farrell. Yes, go on, Jason.
Just noticing on my Twitter feed that I'm sure a lot of fans, it's very topical to our podcast.
Yeah, I've just seen this as well.
Have you just seen this? Yeah. The English Football League with what looks to me looks like a volleyball logo. I'm going to be honest, that's my immediate thought. It looks like a volleyball. Rebranding.
It is a rebranding of the Football League.
Not sure really what I care about.
Well, I've been reading about this as you were talking there. Each little ball that you can see, there are 72 of them to signify each team in three different swathes of 24.
Yeah, three leagues. Oh, that's very clever.
That's
very
a lovely
clever.
Touch. So that is breaking news as we're recording this at about 3:30 on Thursday afternoon, that next year the Football League will become the EFL. If you like, the English Premier League, if you like, the EPL.
Yeah, it's just becoming the Premier League from, they're dropping the sponsor from next year. It's just the Premier League and then the English Football League, which nice little touch, no sponsors, makes a nice change.
Lovely. So there you go. The Championship League 1 and League 2 will remain as they are, though, I'm assured. So thankfully for that. Anyway. That's that. That's a bit of breaking news done. Although by the time people listen to this, Jason, that will have happened hours ago. But there we go. I'll try and get the podcast out as quickly as I can. Then you've had the naps. You've had our best bets. Fingers crossed, we can have a winner or two. And best of luck with any bets that you have across League One and League Two this weekend. We'll be back next week. Thank you very much, Jason. We'll talk to you soon.
Cheers. Pleasure as always.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.